Hi, I'm Ryan Recker, and welcome to The Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting. And today, the story of a family business that started over 100 years ago, was sold and then restarted in the same industry between three brothers. We'll hear the story of two of them today, Trey and Keith Kriegshauser from Kriegshauser Brothers Funeral Service. They decided to do things differently and started to change the game on funeral services. That's today on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. The story of family businesses from all across the St. Louis region. And if you would like your family business story told, just like you're hearing today with Kriegshauser Brothers Funeral Service, reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting, cmaconsult.com, and let them know you're interested to be profiled on The Business of Family Business. In studio today, two brothers, Trey and Keith Kriegshauser, also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I want to first find out more about the business itself and Kriegshauser Brothers Funeral Service, which looked a lot different a century ago. How far back does your family history go in this industry?
Our family's been involved in funeral service since the 1880s. Yes.
Wow. That's a long time ago.
It sure is. It sure is.
And it's over 100 years. That's a long time. How did it start?
Well, it began our great-great-grandfather. He emigrated from Germany. Mm-hmm. He was a furniture maker. Back in that era, when someone in the neighborhood had passed away, the family would have to go to the furniture maker.
Uh-huh. For a casket?
Well, they called them coffins in those days.
Okay, coffins.
That's the way things began. Our great-grandfather kind of took that as a starting point and added what they called, in those days, undertaking and livery. So kind of combining everything into a service for the public.
Was that here in St. Louis? Or was
Yes. Okay. Here in St. Louis, our family was near Manchester and Van Deventer.
Okay. That's a location that you guys are not there anymore, are you?
That's correct. Yeah. That's right. We're located in Brentwood near Manchester.
But what you guys do is a little bit different, because when someone thinks about traditionally what happens when they're trying to arrange for services, you guys are a little bit different in the sense because you guys partner with a bunch of different organizations, but you take care of a lot of what the families need. Can you kind of talk about the services you guys offer, which may be different from the way a traditional, like, for example, a funeral home would offer services?
We specialize in services where it's an alternative to the typical funeral home experience.
Okay.
In other words, when a family contacts us, we typically hold services either in their church, cemetery chapel, nursing home chapel, or at other facilities. Sometimes people like to have services at a hotel or at a restaurant or other locations.
So some of them may have places already. So if they're active in the church, for example, they may want to hold it at a church.
That's right. That's right. Some people are active in their church. Some are not so active. People have different choices if they want traditional burial or if they want cremation or body donation.
And then what happens, they give you a call. I guess, what would you do different than what a funeral home would do?
We typically handle everything on behalf of a family,
right,
from being available 24 hours a day to every detail. The main difference is we do not operate a funeral home as such, mm-hmm, which is essentially a meeting place, a gathering place for families. We typically have everything, whether it's a funeral or a memorial service in the church or elsewhere.
Is this model something that is typical in your industry, or is this something that's not too typical?
This is not typical at all.
Okay.
This is, over time, in every industry, things change. We feel that it's very important to stay attuned to what families are looking for,
okay,
from a funeral director. Over the years, people have been looking for simplicity in, mm-hmm, any number of, and that can be reflected in any number of different ways. The old days, people would go to a funeral home and it could be a 2 or 3 day event.
Mm-hmm.
Today, that's very uncommon.
Right.
And we find that this is one reflection of simplicity. It's a shorter event typically. And we find that a new business model is what really addresses what people are looking for.
Yeah. Keith, can I ask you about that business model? So how does something like this work, and why did you guys decide to do it this way?
Well, in 1993, when we founded our business, even though we had not been involved, we were still very close to the situation, and we were aware of the changes that were taking place in the way of services that families were requesting. Mm-hmm. And we saw that people were moving away from the 2 and 3 day funeral home visitations to simpler services where visitations were maybe 2, 3, 4 hours in a funeral home setting, but even became more and more common for people to have their services where everything was on the same day at the same location. And thinking about that, we thought there had to be a better way to address the needs of families that were choosing some of these options that were becoming more common.
Back in the 1800s, you look at the family business and you look at starting as a furniture maker, which how did they actually, you talked about how they got involved in the business, the funeral business, but when did the family really start becoming established as that, as opposed to a furniture maker? Trey?
I would say that would have been in the late 1800s.
So not far long after.
Our great-great-grandfather started as a furniture maker, but then our great-grandfather, George, took it a step further, combining all of the various services that are really pertaining only to a funeral and not to the funeral industry or to the furniture industry.
Right. It's amazing to go back. So you go great-great-grandfather
yes.
and then great-grandfather.
Right.
And then it would be your grandfather was in it too?
Yes, in every generation.
Every generation since then.
Since, right.
And then
right.
your father. What happened in the 80s? Because the 80s were a little bit different. I was reading that there may have been a decision made in the 80s that may have exited the family business or they might have separated from that line of succession.
Right. Our dad's generation sold the funeral homes to a public company. My family had gone through several generations, and every generation has to face how they're going to enable a succession plan.
Right.
And they chose it. When our generation came along, there were 27 of us in our generation. So trying to figure out how that's going to work could only just represent a big headache in their minds.
27.
Right.
So that means 27 brothers, sisters, cousins, everyone?
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
So you get to a certain point where it's other options need to be explored, you know, given.
So at this time, your father had funeral homes.
Our father, as well as our uncle and three cousins. There were five in my dad's generation that were equal owners in the business.
How many different funeral homes did you guys have?
Three at one point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then you guys have a lot of relatives here in St. Louis, it sounds
yes,
like,
absolutely.
Still to this day.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
All right. So, Keith, let me ask you about that time. So were you guys working in the business at that time?
No. I was still in college at the time. My brothers were recent college graduates and were not active in the business. So at the time that our father and his generation decided to sell the business, it was after having only about 10 or 12 years prior, having kind of finally wrapped up the purchase from their previous generation, I think they realized that we need to make this a little simpler and not try to figure out how can we go from five owners to 27 in the next generation.
Right.
And everybody was still fairly young at the time and not in a position to purchase the business from the prior generation. So this company out of Houston that owned, it was a publicly held company that approached them, our father and his generation decided that was, at the time, they decided that was the best exit strategy.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. 27, is that a large number when it comes to a family business when there's that many family members that may be looking to be the next generation to carry the family business?
It absolutely is a lot. What this family was looking at was going from five people, which can comfortably sit around a table. Most any table, you can get five people around. They can have a conversation, a discussion. Everybody gets a significant amount of airtime and can have their opinions and voice heard. And if you move directly to 27, where do 27 people get together? You don't just have a meeting. It's a big event, and 27 people don't get much airtime. So everything goes up by a magnitude of complexity that is exponential. And there are not the number of relationships when there are five people is 5 × 4 × 3 × 2. Well, when there's 27, it's 27 times 26 on down to 2.
Yeah.
So a number of relationships becomes completely unwieldy. And if you're going to have that many owners, you have to move from a family system to a family council, where a family council is representative of the family members, and the members elect their council, and the council takes care of the family's affairs, not 27 people trying to get together and do it all at once.
Right.
But I can well appreciate looking at that, the magnitude of that incline that Trey's and Keith's father and other owners were facing, I can kind of start to understand why they said 27 is mission impossible. This looks like a good opportunity to sell. We can pass on stocks and bonds in a portfolio easier than we can this business.
They're described as disruptors, and we'll talk about that and how they wanted to run the business their own way, how they do things differently from regular funeral services. We continue our story with Trey and Keith Kriegshauser from Kriegshauser Brothers Funeral Service on the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting. And the story today between Keith and Trey Kriegshauser from Kriegshauser Brothers Funeral Service. And we love family business stories. If you know a family business, let them know about this program and let them know we would like to highlight their family business as well. Reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting. CMAconsult.com is the website. Was it still under the family name there, Kriegshauser Funeral Homes at that time in the 80s?
Yes. Part of funeral service is a very traditional, very personal business. So part of what the company from Houston purchased was the rights to use our family name.
Okay.
So it's and then still they still operate one funeral home under our family name today.
Okay. The company out of Houston, they come in and then your father decides to sell. What happens to your father after that?
They were given the opportunity to either remain on as consultants, as employees. So out of the five, three of them remained on board for a while and they continued to serve as funeral directors. The other two decided to retire at that time.
I see. So, Trey, what happened to your guys' ambitions? Did you think that, well, I guess that's kind of it for the family business? Or what? For your sake, you guys are still young and you may be going through college. What happens next for you guys?
You know, when you look at it, we knew the feelings of everyone involved because it's a family business. People have kind of a stewardship to the family business, you know, when it's in their hands. But when it came to us, it was like, well, you know, it's kind of out of our hands. And certainly the complexity that Dan referred to was there, and that was the reality is what it is. But so, you know, as time went on, we stayed in tune with the way things were evolving. Started opening our own business in 1993.
So this is about a decade later.
Correct.
So Trey, when you had some time to think about what you would maybe do differently, so every generation when they come in, they kind of feel like they may have some new ideas, different ways to operate the business. In this case, you guys were starting from scratch, and you had the opportunity to do something new based on the vision you guys had. In this case, it was completely different from what a lot of people have seen in the area. So what was your guys' vision, and how did you go about creating that?
We could simply, what we would do is we would look at the newspaper. And we would see, this is what this family has chosen to do. This family has chosen to do this, 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 and this. And we would realize that, my gosh, there are a lot of people choosing services that we could specialize in, and they would not actually have to call a funeral home per se to have these services. We could specialize in any number of services, which people were choosing more and more frequently and are today. Years ago, in the early 60s, about 3% or so of people would choose cremation. Well, today, nationwide, it's up to 50%. In our industry, now over a long period of time, it's, you know, 1% a year, let's say. Over time, it has a cumulative effect and basically undermines the old way of doing business. It's hard for an owner of a funeral home, any business that gets established, people become comfortable with the way they're doing things. And it's difficult to introduce things that are significantly different. We didn't have that burden. We didn't have to throw away the old business model. We started with a new one.
Let me ask you about that new business model, Keith. So when you guys were coming up with how you were going to operate as a company, what were some of those things that you took into consideration that would be different than what would have traditionally happened?
Traditional funeral home is probably a 10 to 12,000 square foot building with rooms for parlors, chapels, gathering areas, large parking lots. Just a lot of overhead to maintain that type of business. When we decided to try to service a certain niche of families that didn't have the need of using a funeral home as a gathering place, we knew that we could provide the professional services and the ability, we could provide the services that they need through a much lower overhead operation. We operate out of an office in a retail center in Brentwood. There's parking right out front, so it's very easy for our customers to get in and out of our office. All that we have to have there is our business office, a couple of conference rooms, and a casket and urn selection area. Mm-hmm. So we can meet the needs of those families that engage our services without the higher overhead of a typical neighborhood funeral home.
Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, what you're looking at is funeral services, which is different. In this case, they have the family understanding and they know the business very well. They come up with their own way to do something. And this way, it's starting to disrupt the way the regular industry works. So when you see a family business take on this direction, when they start to work as a family business or maybe start in a new direction, what are some of those things that you see in the industry change, especially in a local community?
Well, one, it's very smart to, when you look around and you want to return to an industry as the Krieghausers have, it's very smart to find the best way to do that. And they decided not to be a me too and just come back and do what they did from 1880 to 1980. So there was about 100 years of doing something one way. Mm-hmm. So they found a different way to do it that met a niche and did it at a much lower cost. And so they have become what's known as a disruptor or game changer, much like Amazon is doing to the retail industry.
Yeah.
It is changing everything dramatically. So they just didn't change the rules. They've changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
They might not get the warmest reception at trade shows would be my guess.
More from Keith and Trey Krieghauser of Krieghauser Brothers Funeral Service. This is the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting, telling the stories of family businesses all across the St. Louis region. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and we look at family business stories from across the St. Louis region. We would love to highlight your family business story. Reach out to Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com. That's the website. It's the website every family business should know. cmaconsult.com. We continue now with Keith and Trey Krieghauser from Krieghauser Brothers Funeral Service. Well, Trey, what did your dad think about this? As someone that sold the business originally maybe a decade before, when you were talking to him and maybe about your concept and then reopening and starting your own business as the next generation, what did your dad say about it?
Well, our dad, he was very inquisitive and very interested in different ways of mixing and matching the components of a business. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was very outgoing and progressive and looking at things like that. So for him, it was something that was going to be something he could see developing.
Yeah.
Certainly.
So, Keith, what about all of the other family members that you have in the business? How many are involved today?
There are three of us.
Yes.
Three brothers.
Mm-hmm. That's three from a very large number from before.
Right.
Are you always looking for different trends in the industry and trying to adapt to things like that?
Yes, we're always, even though we are, as Dan mentioned, a disruptor, even our business model has evolved and will continue to evolve.
Because what you do is you partner with a lot of different organizations and companies, and then you try to make sure you put the best experience together. What goes into partnering with other organizations?
When we answer, we're available 24 hours a day, seven days a week. One of the three of us always answers the phone. We do not use an answering service. And I think, and when you're talking about a very personal service, we think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the time that our services are engaged, we then partner with other firms that we've worked with to help us to help us through the process. But we are in charge of everything from the time that we received a call until the final disposition.
Right. How has that changed the way you guys do business? Have you found that because you have that personal service that you're able to stay more hands-on in the things you're doing? Because I got to imagine when someone gives you a call, I remember handling this when my grandmother passed away. It's a very emotional time when people give you a call, so you have to be very personal in the way you handle things. What happens after someone gives you a call? Like, what's the next step for you guys?
What we do is then immediately respond to their need for service, which is the first step is to send our personnel to make the removal of the person's remains from the place of death,
mm-hmm.
and transfer him or her back to our preparation facility or to a crematory. From that point, then we make arrangements, you know, other further preparation of the remains and then prepare for the services that a family decides that they're going to have.
In a city the size of St. Louis, because when you have a lot of people in a populated area, I have no idea how often people give you a call, but is it a lot?
It is, and it fluctuates. There's no, we do not have a steady business. There are peaks and valleys, so some days we're very busy and time's not as much. So
yeah. I guess it would go, based on any business, there probably would be times where there would just naturally be busier. It's just a little bit different in your industry when you think of it that way, I guess.
Right.
Trey, let me talk to you about the future of the company. You guys probably have a lot of discussions of things and places you may be going. What is your vision of the company and where it's going?
One thing that's very important to us is to always remain in tune with families, what they're looking for from a funeral director, and being able to adapt to changing times. Our business model is different from when we began.
Right.
When we began our business, the internet was in its infancy.
Sure.
That has totally changed things today. So we look forward to continuing to listen to people's needs and to adapt and create services that meet people's needs.
Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, the ability to adapt. Family businesses, they always are looking for ways to adapt. I think what you normally do is you see another generation come in and they have their different ideas of how to adapt. So how important is it for a family business to plan out the future of their family business in the best ways they can adapt to a changing market?
So sometimes adaptation is the right strategy and approach, and sometimes it is a hard right turn or a hard left turn, and that's not so much adaptation as it is more like, adaptation might be thought of as evolution. The hard turn might be thought of as revolution, and so sometimes it is most appropriate to change the game, and that's what these three brothers did. Mm-hmm. They came to St. Louis as a game changer. Let me just ask, is there anybody else in St. Louis that does what you do, where you have funeral services rather than a funeral home?
No, there's not. There are other, they have a variety of different types of funeral homes. They kind of range from basic, minimal services up to very high-end, very expensive services. Mm-hmm. But they all operate under the funeral home model, where it's part of their operation, part of their facilities, they do have the parlors and chapels that are used for visitations and services. So there's no one else that operates the way we do, where all of our services are conducted at some other venue.
Right.
So you don't have the fixed cost of a facility that the traditional funeral home
has. Right. So much of the cost of a funeral these days, it's not in the casket, it's not in the embalming, it is in just the overhead of operating that facility. And those charges are passed along the cost of the casket and the cart and the other professional services, but it's truly in the cost of the overhead of maintaining the facility. That's the largest expense involved with funeral service.
Trey, when it comes to different regulations in your industry, do you have to be licensed in anything you do?
Yes, we do. In Missouri, the establishment itself is licensed, and those that work there in a professional capacity are as well. There's a funeral director's license, and there's also an embalmer's license. It's actually different in Illinois. There's one license that is both the funeral director and the embalmer.
So it varies from state to state.
That's right. The regulations are by state.
And so you guys will cover both states. You'll do Missouri and Illinois, being that we're so close.
Well, actually, we just cover Missouri.
Okay.
It's regulated by the states.
We'll continue one more time with Keith and Trey Kriegshauser from Kriegshauser Brothers Funeral Service. It's the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting, telling the story of family businesses. And if you know a family business, maybe you are one and you'd like your story told. We'd like to hear it. Reach out to Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com. We're joined one last time with Keith and Trey Kriegshauser from Kriegshauser Brothers Funeral Service. Is there anyone else in the family that may be looking to expand their role in the family? Or have you thought about what would happen maybe for another generation, if would want to step in after you guys?
The next generation, unlike our generation where there are 27 members, the generation following ours, there are only two members. I have two children.
Okay.
My daughter is a college junior, and I have a son in eighth grade. So not quite at that point yet. But
he's young, and she's still trying to figure it out.
But my daughter is studying marketing, so she has a lot of bright ideas. So
Does she have a role in the company now?
She does not.
Okay.
But we'll see if she has any interest in the next couple of years. But
have you talked about it? Does it look like there's any early interest, or would you like there to be interest? Maybe I should ask that.
I would be fine if there was interest. She does not have any interest at this point, but that's early on. And when we started our business, we were all out of college 10 to 12 years. So, you know, that may be something down the road, but that's not.
Kriegshauser Brothers Funeral Service. Mm-hmm. The things that you guys learned over the years, when you decided in the time off, your father sold the business, and the decade later, you guys created your own business. You created your own model, and you wanted to find ways to better serve a community based on what the needs are of the community, and you're continuing to do it today. What are some of those lessons you've learned in the business over the years, and some things that other family businesses might be able to learn from based on you basically starting from scratch?
Well, I think one thing, I think everybody in business or whatever you're involved with, we tend to find our comfort level.
Yeah.
And I think we always have to be challenging that comfort level, because there are always going to be new or brighter ways to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, 15 years ago, who would have thought the internet would play the role that it does today?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody might say, well, yeah, I'll put up a site 5 years from now or something. Well,
yeah,
that doesn't work. You know, so the things that you're comfortable with work for a while, but then there's the future.
Yeah.
And you can hypothesize how it may evolve, but you really have to even challenge your own hypothesis to see how it's going to play out.
Interesting. Well, Keith, how do you guys do that as a family? When you guys read about something, or you maybe want to make a decision in the family company, maybe a direction you might want to go, how do you guys go about in that decision-making process?
Well, all three of us are equal owners. We have an equal say, so it's very easy for us to get together. All three of us were together on a regular basis anyway, so it's easy for us to have those discussions. And sometimes we can make a quick decision, okay, this is something that we should do. Other times we'll have further discussion and really need to think about how do we evolve from where we are presently. Is there something we should do different?
So do you do a majority vote? Is that how it works? You guys, or just sit down and you just all come to a consensus and realize this is what we'll do?
I think we really discuss it until we all come to a consensus.
Yeah. You mentioned one thing about the website, because sometimes you realize new and emerging technologies come into it, and you might realize maybe this isn't the right time. How do you guys know when the right time to adapt maybe new trends in the industry into your own company?
Well, that's a great question, because sometimes you can introduce things prematurely and find that it could only lead to red ink. So you have to kind of try to find the sweet spot where you introduce things where it's going to be actually beneficial to the growth of the company. Certainly, it would seem to me that your intuition is probably going to be your best resource.
Yeah. The gut feeling.
Right.
It's
right.
You know, a lot of people say it comes down to the gut feeling, that gut feeling you have. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, you've heard this story and you talked about the disruptor. What happens when you have a company that comes in and they're doing something different than everyone else, and it gains the attention of people in that industry? What are your thoughts on their story here at the Kriegshauser Brothers Funeral Service?
Well, one, it's amazing that this family stayed in this industry for 100 years.
Yeah.
I think understandably, given the situation the family faced in 1982, they probably made what was a good decision to sell the family business. That's a very hard thing for a family to do, is to sell that legacy business, especially one that's been around 100 years. So I have no doubt that was a very difficult decision for those five owners to do. And I think it's also great that these three brothers, after sitting out for a decade, said, this is part of our family legacy. Let's find a way to return to this industry, but let's do it in a very creative and innovative way. And that's what they've done. And so they've provided another option to the community who has a need for these services, that they can get a high-quality service but get it at a much lower price point. So I think this is a tremendous success story for the first 100 years, but also for the last 25 years, about how a family can serve a community.
The one thing that we're always very upfront about is the cost of our services.
Mm-hmm.
That's very on our website. It's very easy to find out what our prices are, and that is something we think is important for families to know. Funeral services are not inexpensive, so we think every family has the right to know ahead of time, you know, what what kind of cost they may be looking at.
I think that it's one of those things you don't realize until you're in the situation where you need the service, how quickly the cost can get up there because of everything that goes into what happens after death.
Most people don't shop around for funeral services in mm-hmm. advance. It's not a topic that a lot of people want to talk about.
Sure.
And it's not something that families deal with on a regular basis. So the combination of those two factors, it makes it hard for families to be aware of what they might be getting into in the way of cost.
Right.
That's why we want to be very upfront and let families know what to expect rather than it being a total shock to them. And that's especially important because things such as funeral service, as we mentioned, when a family calls us, you know, a loved one has died in the middle of the night and we respond to their call for service, mm-hmm. they're not necessarily thinking about what it's going to cost.
Sure.
But they have engaged the services of a funeral director. So once you've engaged the services of somebody, you feel, you know, committed and you're going to work with them. And so we think it's very important for families to, if they choose to do their research, they're going to know, they're going to have an idea of what the costs are going to be. They're not going to be blindsided by yeah. something after the fact.
Kriegshauser Brothers Funeral Service, where can people find more info about that? Because when you talked about being upfront about the cost and the services that you guys offer, you talked about your website as well. Where can people check you guys out?
Our address is www.k-brothers.com.
Mm-hmm. And is this your actual phone number? Like if I call this, it rings to your cell phone that's on here?
Yes, that rings at our office during the day.
And yeah, then it forwards.
And then we forward to a cell phone. So as I mentioned, evenings and weekends, one of the three of us is on call.
So we introduced a unique approach to providing funeral, memorial, and cremation services that no other firm in St. Louis does.
I want to thank both Keith and Trey Kriegshauser from Kriegshauser Brothers Funeral Service. If you would like to listen back to this interview or any of the other interviews we've done with family businesses across the region, just look up The Business of Family Business on KMOX.com in the podcast section.